global commodity trading companies have a high-risk profile. They engage in large value trading activities, typically involving state-owned energy enterprises. As a result, traders regularly interact with foreign officials employed by state-owned entities, which control valuable energy, mining, and other resources.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. This is Michael Volkoff, and you're here today for the deep dive into the Trafigura FCPA settlement. Well, on the heels of the Gunver FCPA settlement for $661 million, DOJ announced its settlement with Trafigura, the latest commodities trading company to fall under DOJ's FCPA sweep against the industry. Trafigura joined the list of international commodity trading companies to suffer FCPA enforcement actions, including Beadle, Sargent Marine, Glencore, Freepoint, and Gunver. Now, DOJ's corporate resolutions are connected to individual prosecutions and guilty pleas of 19 individuals, including 6 government officials, 8 corrupt intermediaries, and 5 trading companies. Trafigura, based in Switzerland, pled guilty and agreed to pay $126 million as part of a plea agreement to resolve FCPA violations in Brazil. They pled guilty to conspiracy to violate the anti-bribery provisions of the FCPA and agreed to pay a fine of over $80 million and forfeiture of $46 million for a total of $126 million. Now, DOJ agreed to credit up to $26 million of the fine against amounts Trafigura may pay to resolve an ongoing Brazil investigation. Trafigura's criminal plea stems from its corrupt scheme to pay bribes to Brazilian officials to secure business with Brazil's state-owned oil company, Petrobras, and Trafigura earned approximately $61 million in illicit profits from its corrupt scheme. In applying its corporate enforcement policy factors, DOJ cited the following: Trafigura's cooperation and affirmative acceptance of responsibility, which included providing timely updates on facts learned during its internal investigation, making factual presentations to DOJ, facilitating the interviews of employees and agents, including an employee located outside the U.S., and arranging for counsel for employees where appropriate, producing relevant non-privileged documents and data to DOJ, including documents located outside the United States, in ways that navigated foreign direct data privacy laws accompanied by translations of certain documents, and 5, providing all relevant facts known to it, including information about individuals involved in the conduct. However, and particularly during the early phase of DOJ's investigation, Trafigura failed to preserve and produce certain documents and evidence in a timely manner, and at times took positions that were inconsistent with full cooperation. DOJ cited Trafigura's remedial measures, including developing and implementing enhanced risk-based policies and procedures relating to anti-corruption, use of intermediaries and consultants, third-party payments, and joint venture and equity investment risk assessment. 2, enhancing processes and controls around high-risk transactions. 3, investment of additional resources in employee training and compliance testing, enhancing ongoing compliance monitoring and controls testing processes, and proactively discontinuing the use of third-party agents for business origination. However, Trafigura was slow to exercise disciplinary and remedial measures for certain employees whose conduct violated company policy. DOJ also cited Trafigura's prior misconduct, which includes a 2006 guilty plea by Trafigura for entry of goods by means of false statements, and Trafigura's 2010 conviction of violating Netherlands export and environmental laws in connection with the discharge of petroleum waste in Côte d'Ivoire. As noted above, DOJ criticized Trafigura's early posture and resolution negotiations and cooperation caused significant delays and required DOJ to expend substantial efforts and resources to develop additional admissible evidence before Trafigura constructively re-engaged in agreeing to a negotiated resolution. Based on all of these factors, DOJ agreed to award Trafigura only a 10% reduction off the fifth percentile of the applicable guidelines fine range. So Trafigura dragged its heels, was not so super cooperative, and did not preserve evidence, probably on WhatsApp and other applications, and as a result, only got a 10% benefit. Now, after announcing Trafigura's guilty plea, DOJ touted in a separate press release the results of its industry sweep against international commodities trading firms. DOJ cited its multiple plea agreements involving companies and individuals that paid bribes to win business with state-owned oil companies in Latin America and Africa. In total, like I mentioned earlier, DOJ has reached corporate resolutions and convicted 20 individuals, and I added here up to 20 now, from the industry for bribery and money laundering charges, totaling more than $1.7 billion in fines, forfeitures, and other penalties. The reason I added the 20th was the recent conviction of Javier Aguilar, a former Vitol trader who was convicted of FCPA and money laundering charges just recently, following a 7-week trial in Brooklyn, New York. The six corporate resolutions include Sargent Marine, Vitol, Glencore, Freepoint, Gunvor, and now Trafigura. Now, interestingly, the Trafigura settlement included a twist when the federal judge assigned to the case, District Judge Kathleen Williams in Miami, questioned DOJ's plea agreement and its enforceability. As reflected in the now unsealed court docket, Judge Williams raised concerns about the enforceability of the plea agreement and who was going to be responsible for it. Eventually, Judge Williams was persuaded to accept the plea agreement after both DOJ prosecutors and Trafigura counsel submitted letters urging the judge to accept the plea agreement. We included copies of the letters on our blog posting about this, and I think it's worth a read to see that the judge was concerned as to whether the judge should retain jurisdiction and be present and available to enforce the plea agreement if necessary. And DOJ and Trafigura argued that her retention of jurisdiction was not necessary because DOJ would enforce the plea agreement with her and come back to her if necessary and did not require the court to retain jurisdiction. DOJ and Trafigura argued that the court's retention of jurisdiction would upset and jeopardize the plea agreement. The deal could have fallen apart in their mind. Apparently, Judge Williams backed down and accepted the plea agreement after a hearing at which representations were made, and at the conclusion of the plea proceeding, she imposed the sentence mandated under the plea agreement. So let's talk about Trafigura's bribery scheme. It's nothing earth-shattering, nothing significantly different than the same schemes we saw implemented by its significant competitors, that being Vitol, Glencore, and Gunvor. At the core of the conduct, Petrobras and Brazilian government officials collected bribes in exchange for valuable contracts for Petrobras oil, either buying or selling oil. This factual statement reflects DOJ's extensive knowledge base in the international commodity trading industry because they had access to several significant cooperating witnesses, including Petrobras officials and a trader based in Houston, Texas. According to the statement of facts, between 2003 and 2014, Trafigura and its co-conspirators paid bribes to Petrobras officials to obtain and retain business with Petrobras. Now, the nature and scope of this conspiracy morphed over time and changed with certain personnel changes. Beginning in 2003, a Trafigura executive met a Petrobras trader based in Houston and agreed to a bribery arrangement. The Trafigura executive agreed to pay bribes from commission payments for oil contracts from the Caribbean market. The Trafigura executive paid bribes in the amount of 5 to 10 cents per barrel to the Petrobras trader for purchases from or sales to Petrobras, and this arrangement continued until roughly 2008. During the same time period, the Trafigura executive agreed with another Brazilian official from Petrobras to pay bribes in exchange for agreed-upon price levels for various oil transactions. The Brazilian official advised Petrobras officials of the agreed-upon price, and Petrobras and the Trafigura executive engaged in sham negotiations to arrive at the preset price for the oil products at issue in the transaction. Now, a new bribery scheme was hatched in 2009 when the Houston-based Petrobras trader joined Trafigura as an agent in Brazil, which is amazing when you think about it. A new Brazilian government official replaced the earlier Petrobras official, and this new Petrobras official informed the Trafigura executive that Trafigura would have to pay a bribe for every transaction between Petrobras and Trafigura. As a result, Trafi agreed to pay between 2 and 20 cents per barrel for each oil product transaction between the two companies. The former Petrobras trader facilitated the bribery payments by funneling Trafigura funds through his offshore bank account to convert the funds into cash and then delivering the cash to Petrobras officials. Now, in around 2011, two new Petrobras officials assumed responsibility for oil trading transactions and positions of influence within the organization. The Trafi executive and the former Petrobras trader agreed to continue paying bribes to the Petrobras officials. In October 2011, the former Petrobras trader, the new Petrobras officials, and Rodrigo Berkowitz, a Petrobras trader who was now cooperating, met and agreed to continue the bribery scheme, including a per-barrel bribe for each transaction. An internal email among the executives confirmed the illegal agreement in coded language. The Trafigura executives resumed a relationship with an original co-conspirator who had been promoted to a position in Singapore. This executive facilitated continuation of the scheme by engaging a third-party intermediary through the Singapore company subsidiary as a consultant and funneling bribery payments through the consultant. Relying on this Singapore-based financial relationship, the co-conspirators continued to funnel bribery payments to Petrobras officials. And they were tracked, all of the transactions and bribery payments were tracked through spreadsheets and email communications by the parties using coded language and numbers. The specific bribery payments were then facilitated through offshore bank accounts and then transferred through U.S. banks. The cash was withdrawn at locations outside Brazil and then ultimately transported into Brazil carrying the cash and delivered by another co-conspirator of Petrobras officials. All of the payments were arranged through the Singapore intermediary and based on invoices for so-called, quote-unquote, consulting services in the oil industry. These were sham services and only intended to transmit required commission bribery payments. Between 2003 and 2014, Trafigura entities earned approximately $51 million in profits. As a result, Trafigura obtained approximately $46 million in criminally derived proceeds. Well, the Justice Department is rightly trumpeting its successful sweep of the commodities trading industry. DOJ's success is reflected in its 6 separate corporate resolutions and 20 individual convictions, resulting in over $1.7 billion in penalties. Companies in the global commodities trading industry should take heed of DOJ's focus. Every significant player in the industry, if not under investigation now, should audit and review their operations. These companies that ignore DOJ's enforcement actions are only inviting further DOJ scrutiny. DOJ has a stable of cooperating witnesses and intelligence that is likely to point to other possible subjects for investigation. And no wonder, right? Global commodity trading companies have a high-risk profile. They engage in large value trading activities, typically involving state-owned energy enterprises. As a result, traders regularly interact with foreign officials employed by state-owned entities, which control valuable energy, mining, and other resources. And the global commodity trading industry includes several other high-risk characteristics. First, former government officials often continue to operate in the industry as agents or employees of the trading companies. Second, commodity traders are notorious for regularly communicating with each other and maintaining incestuous relationships with each other as a way to collect and maintain valuable market intelligence. Aside from basic and fundamental bribery risks, these industry factors foster a high-risk business environment that includes anti-competitive risks of price fixing and other cartel behaviors. In other words, commodity trading requires substantial compliance controls and resources, including basic surveillance, auditing, and testing regimes. The Trafigura settlement reinforces the importance of robust compliance and surveillance strategies. The trading markets operate swiftly, and risky transactions can occur quickly with little to no surveillance or opportunities to intervene. From the anti-bribery perspective, Trafigura employed tried and tested techniques to execute a lucrative bribery scheme. From a review of the factual statement, it's clear that Trafigura maintained little to no compliance oversight. Significantly, it is clear that Trafigura failed to maintain any proper third-party due diligence or risk management program. As an example, consider the fact that Trafigura hired a former Petrobras official involved in bribery as an agent in Brazil. On its face, engaging a former Petrobras official raises significant risk that would require enhanced due diligence and application of robust controls to monitor all interactions and financial dealings of the new agent. Further, the hiring of a Singapore-based intermediary to assist in the conduct of Petrobras's business in Brazil begs the question, what was the business justification for this arrangement? The Singapore-based intermediary was able to move large amounts of cash through regional banks, eventually landing in locations near Brazil. The justification for these transactions was a sham consulting arrangement in which the invoices listed only consulting or reference consulting on oil industry issues. Trafigura, like its competitors, failed to maintain any semblance or appearance of compliance. Instead, as demonstrated by the brazen bribery scheme, Trafigura operated with impunity, ignoring all possible compliance controls or regard for ethics compliance, and ultimately, the law. Well, thanks, everybody. Another interesting FCPA settlement, reestablishing and rededicating DOJ to its core mission in the anti-bribery fight. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Thanks, everyone.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.